Lasciatemi cantare con la chitarra in mano. Lasciatemi cantare. Sono italiano.
That's all I needed, man. That's all I needed. Thank you so much, Gianluca. I
No
really
problem,
appreciate
no
it, man.
problem.
We've been chatting for, this is 22, I think, or something like that.
Yeah,
Yeah, a
at
little
least two,
while.
3 years, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, and I know that you were a little nervous about getting on the
Yeah.
mic and stuff,
Yeah.
but no, I like what you guys are doing. You guys do quality work, right? So it's good. It's out there, right?
We try, right?
Yeah, no,
That's the goal.
it's How long you been at it?
Oh my God. I'm in year, I think 12 or 13.
Really,
Yeah,
huh?
yeah. I started late.
How young are you?
Young. I'm turning 39 in November. Yeah.
Look great for 39,
Thank
man.
you. Thank you. Not my back though. It doesn't feel like it.
That just comes with age, man. That's
Yeah,
how it
or
is.
the actual job itself, but
Yeah. How old is your old man?
he's 66.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big
Yeah.
family? Big Italian
No,
family?
small.
Yeah.
My mom's side had five, six brothers and sisters. My dad, there's four brothers and sisters. A couple of them are in Italy, in Germany, but overall, yeah, it's smallish.
Your dad started the painting?
Yeah, my father,
So
yeah.
why did he choose painting out of all the trades?
You know what? I guess he was just, your typical immigrant
Yeah.
coming here, doing whatever it took to
Anything and
provide for his
everything.
family.
Yeah.
He started in construction, doing labor stuff, and then he worked to like some dental work. He was doing like dental technician stuff,
Yep.
doing like those cast those moldings.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden he just ventured to painting. He did it back home too, and he saw, there was a good means of to provide for your family,
Yeah.
so he stuck with it. He was working with other companies, and then he just one year, me and my brother kind of pushed him.
Yeah.
And we said, just go on your own. What do you got to lose? You suffer a little bit
Was
in the
he was
beginning.
nervous to go on his own, or because
Yeah.
being an immigrant and
Yeah. And you know what? Like,
a lot of risk for the family and everything.
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then he was hesitant. And then, come 2005, my mom passed away. And he just said, you know what? Like, screw it. That's why everything is the company Scholl's established in 2006.
Yeah.
But he's been painting for 30, 35 years.
Yeah. And then when did you guys get into it?
I got into it after I left Rexall and I tried other trades.
Okay.
I was in a bit of a funk where I wasn't doing great in school when I was in the finance world, and I transitioned to a management role at Rexall.
What was the reason why? So this is post-ed, right?
Yes,
And
yeah.
so you just didn't, it wasn't your bag?
Education just doesn't come to me.
Hands
Like
on.
I can't, I'm very hands-on. I
Yeah,
can't
yeah.
read a book and memorize material. But you want me to go and again, paint a house? I'm there, right?
Yeah. It's a different kind of book.
Way different.
Yeah.
And yeah, I finally found the role that I thought, okay, you know what? I'm happy here.
Yeah.
So I started taking courses in human resources at York. And, I was actually learning the material. And, I was pushing for my own store. I was an assistant manager. I wanted my own store.
Yeah.
And, politics and this and that. I decided to just leave. I gave my 2 weeks and I said, this is not going to be for me if you're unable to give me what I pretty much deserve. And I just tried tiling a little bit. I tried,
How'd your back like that one?
I hated it. Carrying like pails of paint is different from,
Boxes of tile,
I hated it.
the
I
bigger the
hated mixing
tile,
mortar. I
mixing
hated doing
mortar,
all that. It just wasn't for me.
dirty.
Very dirty.
Right.
Not that painting
Paint,
isn't
no, no,
dirty.
but paint dirty is a different kind of
It's a
than
different
tile
level.
dirty,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. You got to vacuum after yourself in
Yeah,
painting and kind of
yeah.
keep everything dust free.
Yeah.
And then I tried HVAC, like servicing.
Wow, okay.
Hated it.
Yeah.
And I did these things for 3, 4 weeks each, but I know where, like, I'm a type of person, I kind of know what I want as soon as I enter something. And then my dad, he was getting busy on his own. And I was like, you know what? I have so many friends in construction. Let's try to
Door knock. Start making some phone calls.
But not even. I just started texting my friends this and that, and one lead left came after another, and I just ran with it. And my first job was a 6,000 square foot bungalow loft, and we were just brush and rolling then.
Wow.
That's intimidating. Within that project, that project, I was just already taking, like, looking at videos of spray painting, how to, like, develop myself, right? And it just kind of snowballed from there. Yeah.
We'll get into all of it. I want to get into all of it because I have a lot of respect for painters, and I've always been the GC that argues with the client where this is where you do not cut corners. You do not finish this game at the end by telling me that you've got a painting party going to happen or you got friends that are really good on Pinterest. I don't have that conversation.
No.
It's a professional trade, and just leave it at that. And if you keep pushing me, I will push a lot harder back. Yeah. Right?
I hate to sound arrogant, but the painter makes every single trade look great.
And the painter is given the problem of fixing every single trade at the end.
Absolutely. And then when homeowners have parties and their friends walk in,
that's all they see.
Exactly. You see the paint work.
I know.
You don't see the electrical work. Yeah, you see a little shiny chandelier, but you don't see what's behind the walls.
Yeah. There's a bunch. So let me share the information. I'm sorry, I don't even have your last name. What's your last name?
LaMarca.
LaMarca, yeah. Why don't I have your last name here? Oh, here it is, LaMarca, yeah. Selective Painting. You want me to share? Okay, so you can get them at Gianluca at selectivepainting.ca, www.selectivepainting.ca, on IG under selective_painting. The phone number is 647-407-0972.
Yeah.
What else you want me to, any other, get a hold of you?
I have my sister company with my brother.
Yeah, so the flooring one, right?
Yeah.
And that's under, sorry, that was AG Flooring, right?
AG Flooring, yes.
And then the same information as well to Eric. I don't have the information online for that one.
No, it's just same information for now, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So the flooring. So we'll get into a little bit of flooring, but we'll focus on painting.
Absolutely.
I want to do a quick shout out to Nelson. I'm wearing CJ's Express.
Okay.
I always got to remember my lines, man. CJ's Express. I'm wearing his t-shirt today. Thanks so much, man. I want to start with the painting where you started learning about how to spray, how to prep, how to do everything, because obviously your dad started brush and roll, but there's still a bunch of prep in brush and roll.
Oh, for sure.
And I've met my clients too that actually prefer brush and roll. Like they prefer the trim being done with a proper professional brush stroke, right? Yeah. Me personally, I love the spray finish because it starts to become like factory lacquer spray booth.
Yeah.
The possibilities today, that's what you can pull off. So I do like that. And I see all the prep. I see all the hard work that's involved and then all the tricks that you guys learn. And then a lot of it has to do with the toys. You guys have the proper toys, the tips and the brushes. You guys know everything. And that's what I want to get into a little bit about taking that new house and then figuring out, okay, do you like the path of going MDF? Do you like the path of going poplar? Like, what do you prefer regarding all that stuff, right?
Yeah. So to quickly just make a point, we've gone from just being a regular painter that can just brush and roll to being an actual paint finisher. I find that's the difference in this market that a lot of builders won't really recognize or even homeowners. We troubleshoot a lot. Yeah, we have issues with our machines sometimes. Sometimes material doesn't work well. Some products just don't cure properly.
Yeah.
With certain like temperatures,
site conditions,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And we are always thinking on the fly, what can we do to help, or what can we get out there to kind of elevate us in general and help the actual environment.
You're one of the trades, and there are very few. Your end product is designed and fabricated on site.
Yes.
Everybody else comes in with their fixtures. Everybody else comes in with their hardware. Everyone comes in with finished tile product and it's got to be assembled. But you guys are finishing everything from the beginning to the very end. Everything. Yeah. And you guys are just bringing the ingredients.
Yeah.
And then it's the workmanship that is associated with the ingredients that gives you the finish, right?
Yeah. And it's just, you know what it is at the end of the day? It's just pride. Put a little bit of effort into your work.
Take your time, right?
Yeah. There's so many of us that are losing jobs to guys that are just undercutting. And not undercutting by $1-$2 a square foot. We're talking like, majority of us would be at a higher echelon of price per foot.
Yeah.
And we're losing it at 50%.
But
and then we get the calls from the client saying, we had issues. and it's like we're not
shocked. But then you chose the cheaper price.
Absolutely.
So you, and like, didn't you have the thought where you're thinking, what are they not doing that these guys are doing?
Yeah.
What's the difference here really? Is it, I don't think it's the quality of the paint.
It's not the quality of the paint. It's just comparing apples to apples.
Yeah.
You know, if someone comes in $2 cheaper than me per square foot, what are they offering that I'm not? And then what can we do to get to your budget? Like, what's the realistic end product that a homeowner wants? And what's the budget? And what does it fit properly?
But where do they get their paint budget? It doesn't exist.
No, it doesn't.
Like, I've seen your work, right? And even my thought process is, how can you charge a square footage price when I'm seeing all that woodworking on walls? I don't see drywall. I see woodworking trim, details. Yeah. I see all kinds of stuff. Basically, I see a number of doors just being unfolded where it's like trim on top of trim on top of trim. Yeah, so you have to treat it the same way.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you can't be a square footage price. So I start asking clients, where are you getting this magical number? Is it because of your group chat that you got going on Facebook that you're talking to a bunch of other soccer moms and asking them what they painted?
Yeah. And it's crazy because they'll always find like those uncles or those family friends. But
it's always going to be a cheap number.
Absolutely.
Always.
Absolutely. And I'm not discrediting people going cheap. Some people just don't value certain things. I value things that I know are made to last and things that are done properly.
Yeah.
Right? So I get it. You're always going to have that division in construction world. But it's just, it's funny to me how, and no disrespect to plumbers, electricians, but people will pay because they can't do it themselves.
Yeah, you know, Jean, to be very honest, man, like they're fighting everybody nowadays.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
There's plenty of trades that are going in having to reprice.
Yeah, and it's tough.
Try to scale back.
Yeah.
And it's tough in this market right now. And I don't fault the clients, but I'll fault the clients if they end up hiring the taillight warranty person where they really don't care. And then you're going to match your number that you're looking for. And then all of a sudden there's going to be problems down the line. Yeah.
Just again, like I said, just put pride in your work. Simple. Even if you want to go cheaper, make the effort, you know, offer a decent product at least.
I would at least like, okay, so if you're, let's start just talk like a standard home. You got your trim, you got your doors, you got your base, you got everything all at that, right? And if you got some woodworking, it's fine. I would say hire the right professional to handle, I would say focus on what their dialogue is all about when it comes to the trim and doors.
Yes.
And the reason I'm saying that is because what do you touch the most?
Yeah.
What do you engage with the most, right?
Yeah.
The walls are a different story. Yeah, if you've absolutely. Got a kid's room or a living room or a kitchen, whatever, it's easier to repaint that drywall surface.
Absolutely.
But the doors and the trim and the unit and wainscoting and all that stuff.
Yeah. All the millwork that you get that's all prefabbed and, you know, sprayed in booth.
Yeah.
And I understand the work, so I value that. Yeah, I have the same thing at home with my little one. You know, he's almost two.
He's a tester.
Yeah, and I tell everyone walking in, trim is off hands. You want to damage the walls, go for it. I can fix that in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's the trim. I've put a lot of work in trim work, right? It's just it's really, really
But it's tough. Easy to fix, or it's easy to stay protected when it's actually done correctly.
Yeah.
Where if there is a mar, it's easy to fix it.
Yeah.
Right? It's like that's why I don't like cheap. Like when you do the trim in the doors, when you do it cheap, if you just do one or two coats and that's it, you don't prep it properly, you don't send it properly in between, you're going to get the scuffs and they're going to stay there.
For sure, yeah. But it's even the product though. If you work with certain products, most of them come very soft. Like I work with a specific product from Renner. I don't touch any other product. I even take down from my margin of profit knowing I know this product is for sure gonna work out.
Who's Renner?
Renner is an Italian based.
Yeah, somebody else, Layla, I think it was Layla was on here. She mentioned them.
Yeah, and they pretty much formulated material for kitchen refacing in North America.
Okay.
And, you know, they found the product and they wanted to kind of revolutionize the market and they did a hell.
It's a good product.
Oh my God, yeah.
You're doing site refinishing on kitchen cabinets?
You could.
With them?
Because this is like almost like a water-based lacquer. Whereas back in the day, my dad's era,
I did it too. I would spray lacquer inside a home.
Yeah.
And then you start discovering the potential of a bomb.
Yeah.
In a home, right? So once I learned that, I was like, yeah, we're not doing this anymore in here, right? Just in case.
Yeah, it's difficult, right?
And but it's a good product.
Very dangerous, yeah. Very, very good product.
Made there?
Yes. I believe that it's, I don't know if they have, I think they have factories in Ontario.
They're probably setting up here, right?
Yeah, but they're...
At Royal Door and Trim Supplies Limited, they're not just delivering doors and trim, they're delivering possibilities. Proudly serving Toronto and the GTA with top quality interior doors and trim for every residential and commercial project. With 50 years of experience, expert craftsmanship, and a service that goes above and beyond, your space won't just look good, it'll feel exceptional. Visit royaldoor.ca, email them at sales@royaldoor.ca, or call them at 905-669-2954. Follow them on social at royal_door_LTD and discover why quality, knowledge, and experience reign at Royal. Royal Door and Trim Supplies, quality since 1975 and proudly Canadian. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
They're taking over, yeah.
So what's that do for, do the designers understand this? Because obviously, you know, we'll talk a little bit about designers and Chantilly lace, which is, you know, everyone has heard the show.
The nightmare of painters.
Yeah, I'm not the favorite. I don't get it. I like seeing color, but yeah. They're so used to going to the Benny Moores, right? They're so used to using their colors. I get it. But in today's, like you were just saying, Renner, like, I mean, there's lots of great other products that you could be
there
using.
There is. There's even fine paints of Europe.
Yeah.
I would love to try. I haven't found that client that's, you know, willing to pay that price per square.
What are we talking about? Like, how much more? Is it twice or three times the cost of a gallon?
Yeah, pretty much. And you need actual, when I mean dust-free environments, you need to have everything ventilated. You got a speck of dust in these products and you're redoing the
whole happens to it if dust?
You'll notice it. You'll notice that speck of dust or, you know, and it's happened to me where I'll spray my final coat on ScuffX, Renner, Advance, whatever the case may be. And sometimes in those projects, when you're working in the summer and you have those open windows, a fly gets on there, you're like, okay, whatever. A quick sand and a coat after, or you can fix it. You pluck it out. And,
yeah.
But this material, like, you need perfect conditions. But the finish that I've seen is like flawless.
What's it? Is it similar to like a powder coating effect where
pretty
if
much.
Something comes in, it actually bonds and becomes part of that now?
Pretty much.
Really? Yeah. Huh?
It gives you like that auto body.
Oh, wow.
To it. Yeah. It's insane. That and I've nice. Been wanting to try it, but again, I haven't found that project for it.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, based on your portfolio, you've got a lot of that kind of clientele, right? That has those kinds of projects that would want to try that, right? There's a lot of white. All right, I guess everyone just loves the white because then they can decorate with color, right?
It's transitioning, though.
Yeah, that's all it is, right? Yeah. But it's fine. It's easy. It looks great, right? Yeah,
it's clean. That's what people want. Simple.
Right? I like that. I was seeing a lot of millwork. I was like, listen, no offense to the drywallers and the mudders and the plaster guys and everything like that. Drywall is not the end and be all of everything in a home, right? Like, I like seeing surfaces that have detail on them. Have some sort of character on them, whether it's a modernized, contemporary looking kind of paneling or if it's an ornate kind of traditional looking paneling. Like I love doors that have the rounds in it. And like, I love all those details.
You love it. They have character.
Yeah.
Right?
And I know a lot of people don't like it because you got to clean it. It just collects dust over time.
Like, yes and no. So here's the thing with the spray finish. The softer your material is, it's very easy to clean.
It's simple to clean.
But if you do a brush and roll and you don't sand in between coats and it's a rough feel,
it's different.
That dust will sit on there.
Yeah.
And it'll collect and collect.
I think that this younger generation now, they really like that clean, modernized, contemporary.
Yeah. Straight lines, very.
But in my purpose, it's useless because if you got a kid or you got a pet, you're damaging.
100%.
All kinds of stuff. Yeah. Trimless doors. Trimless baseboards, just a reveal. And the best one is, like, I knew this from back in my old days with film, having the light channel on the bottom of the light. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, okay, you know what, honey, let's just have the glow in the house and we'll just put the light on the baseboard there. And all of a sudden now you see all the dust and imperfections in the flooring.
Yeah. There's so many things to look at.
Yeah.
Right? You can fall into so many little traps. Just keep everything simple.
So first of all, start listening to the professionals that have done it before because you guys have experienced it, right? Yeah. And then listen to their hindsight and all of a sudden think about it, make a decision off of that.
But there's also people out there that call themselves professionals. I mean, listen.
Well, there's six women right now that are astronauts, right?
Yeah. I don't, yeah, Let's not get into that one, but
but that's what I mean. It's the same train, like
absolutely
right. Like I'd rather listen to a professional who's gone through it and gone through some hardships, probably even had some faults, and go, man, this is why it failed.
Oh yeah,
and now I know how to fix it, and now I'm never going to do it that way again because I know how to do it. Many times
on the job site,
that's what happens.
You learn.
You learn from that.
But I'm still learning as I go. There's not one job site that I go on where my process is the same.
It can't be.
But not even that. Like even sanding pads, I'm still using different sand pads. You used to start with, you know, the Festool 180s. I would do a double coat of primer, 180, and then kind of build up. Now I just go from 180 to a 400.
Oh, wow.
And I just start the softening process, right? There's projects I just do everything by hand with sanding. It depends on the actual doors, the profiles, the trim, you know.
You gotta survey the land. Like absolutely. You gotta go there and figure out exactly. It's one thing to be described over the phone or over text messages or pictures. I won't
price over the phone.
You can't.
No,
you have to go there.
I'll never price. And when I'm on site pricing, it's a 1 to 2 hour process. And then that's just the initial site meeting. If I'm given the actual project, I'm there 3-4 times prior to see, you know, the development of what I'm going to be working with.
Yeah.
You know, are the tapers doing their job? Drywallers, are things straight? What about the carpenters? Are there miters meeting? There's so many little things that I have to look forward to that I need to kind of be on top. And those are like, if you think about it, 1, 2, 3 hours, they add up.
Of course.
You're talking days of labor now. Not physical, but more mental labor.
You ever get, I guess, the builders or the clients just expressing that you're not moving fast enough? And I bring that up just because you, like you said earlier, you're given all the little problems, whether it was whatever trade it was, right? Maybe there was cutouts here, maybe there was final changes here or whatever, something was done. And now it's your responsibility to make it look like magic and fix it. But there's a process to your, you know, the way to do everything to get it all finished. Because the thing is, you guys are the last step, technically, before they move in.
Yeah, for
sure. Once you guys are done and we pull back the Christmas wrap in, you start assembling certain details, you start putting fixtures in, you start hanging stuff. Yeah. People start moving in after you guys are done, right? And then they can't get there fast enough, right? That's the problem. But the thing is, you can't rush this, and especially if you're dealing with winter months or summer months, high humidity, low humidity, that all factors in. So it might even take longer depending on that, right?
I'm not saying, you know, paint finishers are doctors, but do you ever rush a doctor?
No, I wouldn't want that.
Do you ever rush a surgeon in surgery?
No.
You got to trust the process.
Yeah.
So if the painter is saying they need an extra week or two, it's not coming to your pocket. That's already built into the price.
Yeah.
Allow the professional to do what they got to do. I ran into a project a couple of years ago where I was spraying full MDF reveal panels on a staircase wall. And I'm getting I'm just getting edges on my spray. Hmm. And I'm thinking, what's going on? My fans weren't really adding up. I'm trying different tips, different guards, I'm trying to, you know, with the Scuffex, I'm trying to put a little bit of water, maybe dilute it a little bit to see if it flows better.
Yeah.
And like I had Benjamin Moore reps come on site to figure out what if it's a product, you know, what could we change? What if it's the machine, testing the machine, bringing it to service? All that for, it was a 2-week process figuring out that there was lack of power due to so
there wasn't enough amperage coming through the machine
because we had the carpenters in the basement. We had guys upstairs. We're all using the power in the house. So different outlets or different, different plugs, whatever.
But you're still drawing power.
We're still drawing power. So I was losing power and it was just a nightmare. So I had to do it 3-4 times until we finally got it. Now I lost.
Because you had to assess everything in that time.
Absolutely. And that's 2 weeks. And I had 3-4 guys and I didn't go to the builder and say, listen, like you owe me X amount. I said, you know what? We figured it out. Do you like the end product? Yeah. That's all that matters.
How did you figure it out that it was a power issue?
I literally had to tell trades don't show up for a couple of days.
So get rid of that X factor.
Yeah.
And then you guys did your work and it was spraying properly when they weren't there.
Because the builder had the electrician show up. They kind of installed my own designated outlet And it still wasn't working because overall power was...
It's still being consumed.
Right? So I said, guys, don't show up. 2 days. That's all I need.
I've never heard of that one.
I never had the issue.
But it makes sense, though. Yeah. Because those machines are designed a certain way that you have to have a certain amount of amperage coming through it to push what it needs to push out.
Yeah. And if I have 3-4 guys and we're all running Festools, now we get into a big issue.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, there's like I tell everyone, let the carpenters finish. Let so-and-so finish before me. Let me come in and be the last person and the only person.
Well, technically, I always did that. Like, the house belonged to the painters here. You guys go to town. I mean, there might be one or two trades coming in to do something
here and there.
Whatever here and there. But the thing is, the property's owned by the painters, right? Yeah, it has to be, right?
Every time that the plugs trip and one of us has to go down to the basement, go to the actual panel. Like, you're doing that 3-4 times a day.
Yeah.
That's
for your efficiency, it makes sense for you to have the whole structure because you could start prepping on the top floor, but then you could also start finishing on the top floor, but continuing prepping on the main floor, then the basement. You could be floating around depending on how many guys you have. Yeah. You can be going to different areas to get work done.
Like, I don't need the help if I'm spraying the baseboards and the frames.
Yeah.
I can have my guys, you know, doing other work on the other floors.
Yeah.
You got to be efficient.
It's all about prep, man. It's all like you guys are just getting cleaner and cleaner and cleaner and cleaner, right? Like, you have to do that because you know the cause and effect of what happens with the final.
So there's a lot. There's a lot to it. And prep is probably 98% of the work.
Yeah.
The finish is the easy part.
Yeah. But it only looks easy because the prep was hard. It was done correctly. Oh, so now the finish looks easy at that point. Yeah.
You're doing multiple spot checks.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes the holes don't fill. You know, I found a way where I just do wood filler and do it a couple times. If I have to do bundle checks before I finish, whatever. And with certain materials, you don't get proper coverage, right?
Yeah.
You suck it up and you do that last coat that you don't want to do, but it's done properly and the homeowner's happy.
What is the homeowner, you know this, right? Like, what do they always do when it's finished and they walk in? What do they do?
So a recent project that I finished, when I went there to take pictures and video and stuff like that, the wife was like, my husband still walks up the staircase and he just rubs the panel.
That's
what I want.
That's exactly what they do.
I want that compliment every week.
Yep.
Because that's what I work for, right?
But they do that throughout the whole house. Check
and the payment. But like, I love to hear that compliment because you feel good about yourself and you know, once your confidence builds up and you're happy with your work, that energy goes into your product.
But your friends, people who come over, they all come over and they just touch it.
My brother, a couple of weeks ago, came over and we were going out for a stag. And he was just waiting for me to get ready. And he's just walking around and touching the frames. And he's like, it's still soft, eh? I go, yeah.
But that's the reason why you do it this way, right? And that's the difference between getting it done correctly and then getting it done slightly cheaper, right?
Yeah.
So
cheap pays double. And I've always been... the type of person, just do it once with quality. I'm also the type of person, because I've been rejected for cheaper.
So they called you up and they said, listen, we'd love to go with you, but we can't because this other price is much better.
I saw a client and he's like, you sold the shit out of yourself. And he's like, but ultimately the dollar's what matters. And I said, what's the difference? And it was a surmountable, it was a big number. And I'm like, I can't. I wish I was able to. And he's like, I wish I was able to, give that extra little. But he's like, it's hard.
He didn't.
And I said, I hope it works out. Like, that's all I want.
Did it work out?
I'm not too sure. He hasn't reached out to me. So I'm assuming it did. But you just never know. Sometimes people don't want to admit that they're wrong. So maybe something didn't work out and he's like, I don't want to reach out to him. I'll reach out to someone
else. Yeah, and that could happen too. You'll have clients.
Which is fine.
Yeah, because the truth of the matter is if they get you back, now you have to, first of all, prep fix to get rid of what was done. So it's going to cost them even more. Your price is not valid anymore at that point.
It sucks because a couple of years ago, I walked into a project and I got this random call and he's like, oh, I need a price. So I walk in and I'm like, looking around, I'm like, this is done. Why am I here? And I'm like, I can smell the fresh paint. And he's like, yeah, we painted 2 weeks ago.
I go, so why am I here?
Why am I here? And he's like, because there's so many issues. So we were walking around and I saw so many problems. And I'm like, you know what? Let's see what happened with the walls? Like, you know, what's wrong with the color? Like, there was something off with the color too. So I go, bring me a quart of whatever you have, because we couldn't, we had, they had an empty pail, but it wasn't marked.
Okay.
So you didn't know. I don't know, because if you're, if you want a price for me to do the walls, I need to know what I'm working with, mm-hmm. right? Color matching and stuff like that. And so we took out this pail. He brought me the quart. And I did one sample, another sample. And I go, the finish is what it needs to be. But what I'm using, what they use in the wall, there's a massive difference. We end up finding out that they left primer on the wall, tinted primer. And every, so you know with primer,
yeah,
you touch it with your finger and there's already a mark.
Yeah.
So there were marks everywhere. And I'm thinking, this can't be happening, right? There were so many issues with this. And I asked what they had paid the painter. And it was X amount of dollars. And I came in at a price. And I said, now if you combine both, I go, I walk into this place, that's my price. I go, now you're not going to get the final product because it's hard to get to that with all these issues. You should have just done your due diligence.
At Premier Physiotherapy and Sports Medicine, they don't just treat symptoms with the subpar standard experience people have come to know. Listen up, trying to skip this ad? That's exactly how you strained your back last time. The clinicians there provide accurate, specific diagnosis and evidence-based treatment techniques to provide clear and personalized effective management plans. They thrive when they hear people say that they've tried physio before and it didn't work, because they raise the standard of what physiotherapy should be by managing your issue. Whether you're recovering from injury, awaiting surgery, trying to resolve lingering pain, or striving for peak performance, they use the latest equipment and proven methods to restore your ability and confidence. From physiotherapy and massage therapy to chiropractic care, nutrition counseling, and psychotherapy, their multidisciplinary team supports both your body and mind every step of the way. Discover the difference and book your consultation today at premierphysiotherapy.com or call 905-417-9991. Premier Physiotherapy and Sports Medicine. Your goal is their goal. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Don't get that first quote. That's what people do.
So in that particular situation, he only had one person quoting for the job?
Yeah.
See, it's like when I started hiring people to do my painting projects, I wasn't doing that. I was getting a bunch of people to reach out.
I tell my own friends who call me.
Yeah.
Get in a couple numbers. Let's review it together.
Yeah.
I said, if I can match it, you know, I'll match it. If I can't, so let it be, whatever.
But it was also the kind of conversation that I would have with the individual.
Yeah.
That factored into what they were selling to me, right? Yeah. So if I saw the potential in them that they were interested in pulling this off to a certain degree, versus they saw it as more of a lot of work in front of them, I didn't like the person saying, this is a lot of work in front of me. I like the person who's saying, I'm up for this challenge to pull this off, yeah. Right?
A lot of people, like I walk into, you know, big homes, 6,000-8,000 square foot homes. And people are like, oh, have you ever done something like this? I go, this is like the standard. You know, like I like to do this stuff, right? But you also got to read the room.
Yep.
So if I need to get something done in my house, I need exterior work done in my house, and someone shows up, no notepad, no business cards, no samples, no whatever the case may be, I'm already automatically not going to go with them.
Nope.
Because I know they're not educated enough. I walk in with sample boards, notepads. I'm there. I'm writing pages of notes. And clients are asking, what are you writing there? You're just quiet for 20 minutes. And I'm writing down everything that I saw.
This is a listening meeting, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. And then you got to answer. You got to ask 1,000 questions, answer them. You need to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I can pick up a brush and roll, watch YouTube videos and call myself.
And lots of people do. That's the thing is, right?
Yeah.
But then you also want the client to be asking you a bunch of questions too.
Absolutely. I want them to feel comfortable.
They need to understand, because you need to understand where they're coming from. What's the purpose of it, right? Yeah. So you have to figure out their family dynamic. You're figuring out their whole family dynamic in general, not just the kids, but whatever else is going on.
Make it a little bit personal.
Yeah.
You know, you want your client not to just be a client. You want them to be, you want to develop a friendship.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about, you know, this business, even with other trades. you know, be friends with other trades, even competitors. I'm friends with competitors, and we, you know, have discussions with each other. We try helping each other out. We've become like almost like a community.
Yeah.
Instead
it's
of
better
looking,
to do that.
Instead of looking at ourselves as fierce competitors.
Yeah. And plus also listen, in all fairness, people make mistakes on sites, right?
For sure.
You're going to get another trade that might touch a wall that's too soon. It's just been sprayed, a little bit of a damage. But if you got a great relationship, you get along with each other, then what's going to happen? Then the painter's going to help you out. And listen, sure. I'll take care of it. Yeah. I'll figure out how I can fix that. Yeah. And I've made my mistakes and I've gone up to the painters and I was like, listen, this is what I did. Here's my boo-boo. Can you figure it out, right? And they do it. But if you had a resistant relationship between, your problem.
Yeah. Right? It sucks because everything trickles in construction. It's like the water effect.
Yeah.
So if, you know, the framer, a group of framers is having an off week and they're just not mentally there, emotionally there, that works into their product and it trickles down to everyone else. Because it's always like, oh, whatever, the next guy will fix it. The next guy will fix it.
Yeah, we've heard that.
And then I'm stuck with that.
Yeah.
Or the painter's stuck with that, right?
Last thing you want as a painter to discover a wall that was crown in, crown out because of a bad day on a framing site, right? Which you obviously want framers to be aware of that, right?
Yeah.
So, and that works for every trade as well, too. I mean, I've been arguing, you know, LSLs to be put into shower enclosures from now on, make it part of the building code because it's true lumber, and then they don't have to worry about trying to make their tiles plumb and then costing the client more money.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing with you. If you got a house, you walk in there and there's a massive hallway, straight line, and if it's crown in, crown out or whatever it is, you're gonna see that when the sun hits the house a certain angle.
For sure. And if it looks like the Don Valley Parkway with all the twists and turns.
And it's even worse with the ceiling too as well.
Yeah.
We've all seen those videos or stories where you see the guy just holding the light and
the shadowing,
And you look at it, you go, that's amazing looking. And then it goes, no, it's not. And then you get up there and you're like, look how bad it is.
Yeah.
But now you guys are tasked to fix that, to make it look as best as possible.
But we notice it.
Yeah.
Like I notice little things on, it's had this effect on me, the painting or entering the painting world where now I walk into people's homes and I'm thinking, oh, that's.
Of course you do.
That's that. Oh,
of course you
like
do.
Like that and blah, blah, blah. And I point out everything. Like even if I'm looking for a listing for myself, you know, me and my wife were looking a couple of years ago before we found our home now, and everything I was like, no, I got to do this, I got to do that, and she's like, why? I'm like, because I see what I walk into on a daily basis.
It will eat away at you.
Yeah.
I remember walking into a brand new house, and it was a builder that I know, and he was incredibly proud of it, and the client loved it. And like taking two steps into it, I was just like started to mental yellow post notes all the issues with the painting. It was bad. Yeah. It was bad. It was like I was seeing drips. I was just seeing inconsistency. And I was like, this is obviously like everyone's seeing this, right? I don't understand how you're not seeing this. But when they went back and they saw the whole picture and they photographed it and shared it online or shared it with friends, you don't see those little things.
No, because
when you're walking around, you're grabbing a doorknob and all of a sudden you look at the corner of the trim, you're like...
Because everything online is meant to be perfect. Like even my page looks perfect. It looks appealing.
But in person, it looks just as good, if not
for
more.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah, but we're only showing the good stuff.
Yeah.
I thought about this and I just didn't know how to kind of... go ahead with it. I only wanted to show the ugly side of painting in my post. I wanted to show...
That'd be a good angle.
I just didn't know how to execute it. So I just stuck with what I knew worked. I wanted to show, you know, the difference of pre-prime material versus poplar. You know, educating people that way. I wanted to show people, you know, how sometimes walking on a job site and the guy who, or the painter... Sometimes even the carpenters, when they dapped, they didn't run their finger across it. So you see that bead. Sometimes you don't notice it.
They do that? I can understand maybe one small section because they stood up and then some guy said, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Listen, and then he started up again and he missed that section, right?
Listen, I get it. I've missed certain things in a house. But when you're working in a big project, you miss certain things.
I think you would do well if you started showing... the light and dark side of painting. If you started maybe once a week post of just saying, listen, this is part of the industry. We don't like it. We don't agree with it. This is how we would fix it. This is how, this is the cause and effect of it.
Yeah.
I think you would, I think it would benefit you to be very honest. I don't think you're putting a light on anybody specifically. You're just saying that the industry sometimes does it this way. We don't do it that way. Yeah. And here are the reasons why we don't do it that way, because we rather have this finish.
Yeah. I've tried that with doors in the sense of kind of showing the texture of pre-primed and sanding it down and then finishing it from there, because everyone has this misconception that pre-primed is cheap. At the end of the day, the painter is doing the exact same work that he would be doing on poplar.
Yeah.
But you're paying cheaper material, and that cheaper material is going to show up on your job site, right? Yeah. And I see it with doors. Like, people love the two-panel shaker doors, and it's nice. But when manufacturers are putting silicone instead of glue on the panel, that shows. People always say, why are the joints showing on the door? Because there's no glue.
They're not using glue. They're using silicone in some manufacturers.
Some manufacturers.
Yeah, but silicone, you can't paint. It's just...
No, but I'm saying, like, the actual... So some doors, they don't come fully... Some come MDF pre-primed.
Yeah.
So that sheet that goes on top of the actual... of the actual wood, instead of using glue, they use silicone. There's times where I have a knife, I'm scoring silicone off the edge. Because when they press that panel down, the silicone kind of...
Yeah, oozes out, and then you have this problem. It's now your problem.
Yeah.
But then it makes it more challenging to get a proper door.
And then you can't use regular paint because you have silicone there.
Yeah.
With the residue, paint won't stick, it'll web.
You ever get clients asking for oil?
For oil priming?
Oil paint in general. Some people like love
yes
it.
Yes and no. Yeah.
Yeah.
People are still asking if it's still out there. Yeah, you can find it.
Is it legal? I thought tree huggers were pushing it out of the way or something like that.
Yeah, but, you know, tree huggers.
I know. Go hug a tree.
Like, they're driving a, you know, lithium powered.
I know, we get it. EV. We get it. But I know that older people, they just like the oil feel. They just...
Oh, that stuff was
immaculate. It was amazing, right? It was
incredible stuff.
It would yellow over time.
For sure.
So, you know, but I mean, it has a nice flavor to it, and it looks a certain way, and it goes with a certain traditional home, right?
Yeah. And the painters back in the day who sprayed, and they were good, and they sprayed oil. Oh, they were good.
They were good.
I walked into a project, and I told the homeowner, like, you want to transition to a Chantilly finish, for sure. But I said, it's a shame. And they're like, why? I'm like, these doors and these frames and bases are like flawless. Whoever did this painting back then was just top tier. I said, it's a shame, but, you know.
I'm just offering you up some education, some simple. Yeah. Yeah. How long ago were we talking about? They did it in the 70s or 80s?
No, I would say mid 90s maybe.
Okay.
Late 90s, yeah.
It has a certain finish. It has a certain feel. Yeah. And again, we go back to the idea of touching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, it has a certain feel to it.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Certain projects, you know, call for us. Most don't.
You ever get outside?
Like exterior work?
Yeah.
I try not to. It's not my forte.
Yeah. You want to stay inside.
My bread and butter is interior.
But then the front door, I guess you're also, or they're going to be going with a door manufacturer, and the door manufacturer will take care of that on their own.
Well, usually they get that prefab,
yeah,
that prefab door.
Yeah.
In that case, I mask up the whole door. If the frame is untouched, I obviously finish the frame, but I protect that door. Sometimes there's staining,
yeah.
But if people want that front door finish, the thing is, people aren't educated on that, where they think you just take it off the hinge and you refinish it. But you want that door to have that it factor.
Yeah.
And there's, you need, you know, a lot of work with those doors. We're talking not just the standard 2 and 2 prime and finish.
No.
Maybe 3, 4, you know, you're over 5 to 6 coats of...
I always treat it to like painting the car, man. Like, there's a process for painting the car. It's gotten better over time since the early days, but there's lots of steps.
Yeah.
And it's the same
thing. A lot of steps, yeah.
Yeah.
But like, as soon as I spray, the next day I see the cure. The secured product, and I'm just like, I love it. I find spraying therapeutic.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. It's a lot of work, especially if you're doing a whole house and you're nonstop. So it takes a lot on your body, but I love to spray.
Is it because of the sound or like just the calmness of it? Or
just the calmness of it, just to see the movement of the paint and, you know, just to go frame to frame and baseboard to baseboard and just seeing the, you know, the color change into the base and stuff like that. I love it.
If you are a business owner, subcontractor, or client, you know that trust in this industry is huge. And Contract Alp helps build that. Not only do they get a solid contract for your projects, they built in an e-signature tool for you and your clients. The contract dashboard also has a digital live log that records every step of the project, plus a rate and review system for both the contractor and the client. This means more transparency and accountability for everyone. Stop running your business on an estimate and a handshake. Protect yourself with Contract Alp. Book your free demo or sign up today at www.contractapp.ca and use promo code TCL to get your first month for free. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. Is there a difference for you if you're working on MDF or poplar? Or you're still achieving the same finish? You're
still achieving the same finish. The thing is, on poplar, on MDF, you have to be a little bit...
Saturation.
Yeah, you got to be a little bit careful to not over sand.
Yeah.
Because once you get those hairs, you're pretty much toast.
They won't go away?
It's hard to achieve an actual, like a proper finish.
But it's funny
that I found, right?
Yeah, I know. I agree with you.
In my process.
I've also found that the quality of poplar from some manufacturers has been getting worse, where now you start looking at MDF and you're going, why is MDF feeling a lot better than this poplar? Yeah. I've always been a poplar person.
Yeah.
But then you guys are doing something differently now with this poplar. I don't know if you guys are not passing it one more extra time through the sanding.
We should be. So I always quickly buff the actual MDF to get the dust off
before you even put on the first coat.
Anything. Yeah.
Yeah. That's smart.
I do my wood filler and then I go very softly.
Yeah.
I make sure I don't go heavy in the wood filler, knowing that I'm doing MDF work. I'm going to be doing 2-3 spot checks. I just do a quick buff, vacuum, no wiping because dust will collect on your rigs, on your
fire. And all you're doing is you're moving it around, right? That's all you're doing.
And I just kind of quickly spray. I don't go heavy. I just quickly spray, almost like a powder coat. I'll do a crisscross almost.
Yeah.
And then I just build from there.
It's a
longer process.
Yeah. To get to the finished product.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. And then when did you guys start doing the flooring?
So it was two, three years ago. We were on a project and we met this set of installers and they were just hungry to just work and make money. And in general, everyone, whenever I go on a job site, everyone asks, do you know a plumber?
Of course.
Do you know an electrician?
That's the go-to. I know.
So I thought to myself, what a better way to organize. Because I always said, you know, is the flooring installed before I get there? You know, are you doing the floors after? Shoe mold. If you're doing the floors first. Are more
people doing the floors before or after?
It depends.
I've always done it before.
Yeah, sure.
Build the trim on top of it.
You could.
Protect it.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah, you could.
I don't know. I like
it better. There's different ways of doing it.
Yeah.
But I said, what a better way to position myself and organize. So I said, let me open up a flooring company. So I said, I'll just offer it whenever I can. I won't push it. And I was getting, you know, projects here and there. I only use the one set of installers for everything. And then all of a sudden, the last year, it just snowballed. And I'm just getting busier and busier with that. I do a lot of staircase recapping.
You finishing stairs as well too? You're staining?
Yeah.
You get into the whole staining world as well?
Yeah. So now I just build that under my flooring company.
Yeah.
So whenever I walk onto a job site, if I'm not doing the floors, my flooring company is still getting some sort of kick on that.
Yeah.
And you know, a showcase on the house.
What's everybody asking for? Obviously white oak, white plank, white oak.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone's moving away from that dark stain. Yeah.
Everyone well, that American, was European white oak. Yeah, that was what, like 15 years ago would have been the dark espresso stain kind of flooring.
Exactly. But espresso's coming back now.
Is it coming back?
Yeah. I'm seeing it from a lot of designers. It's coming back.
I still see a lot of white oak.
Yeah. Yeah, because everyone's still in that
area.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Listen, I have it. I love it.
Yeah, it's nice.
I love it.
but there's other, you know what I would love to see more of is inlays. I would love to see more site finish.
Yeah.
I would love to see more details, making certain rooms a certain pattern.
Yes.
I would love to see that kind of stuff. Yeah. I know that it costs a lot more to do that.
Yeah. Instead of just doing a staggered look. Yeah.
But I'm also kind of a guy that I like separate rooms. I don't like full blown open concept and everything goes everywhere.
Yeah, for me, it depends on the actual layout of the house.
Yeah.
Some I do prefer that. Some I like the open concept, but not fully open concept. There's ways of breaking the room.
Yeah.
Right.
But then the problem with the open concept for me is that you have to select your flooring for everything.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And I'm Portuguese, man. Wood in the kitchen don't make sense. It will never make sense to me. I don't care.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I've seen homes that have it, and I see them wear and tear at the sink, at the stove, it's and at the prep counter. Yeah. I see a wear out there, man. It's like, it's wood. I don't care if it's the hardest wood.
It's a natural element.
That's it. Tile, you can spill, drop.
Absolutely.
Clean it up, and it still looks the same. It's good.
Yeah, I agree.
But designers don't want that transition change between the tile and the wood, right?
They love the white oak. It's a nice look. Listen, I'm all for it, too. You gotta know your room.
Yeah, that's all it is. You gotta know your room. Exactly. That's the truth of the matter is that you gotta design for that room.
Yeah.
Same with painting, same with the flooring, the painting, everything like that, right?
Yeah. You gotta just know your client.
But I guess the client's most like you probably have pallets and pallets of Chantilly lace, right? That's just
I have it in my home. The only reason why I have it in my home is because I had to transition from selling a property while my wife was 2 weeks postpartum.
Okay.
To move in to our new home within a 5 to 6 week period where I was doing demo, floors, staircase, electrical work, paint. I was doing all this while working.
Yeah.
It was tough. So I said, you know what? I was at the tail end. I'm like, screw it. Chantilly everywhere. If I want to add a color later, I'll do it.
You can always easily do the walls as a color.
Yeah. No problem. I could also go room by room, mask a room. Use that as my canvas, finish the work, come out, transition, put things back. That's my own home, right? But
how are clients on, I like this, one side of the door painted one color, the other side of the door painted.
You like it?
I like it.
I don't mind it.
Because it belongs to that room.
It looks nice.
So if that room wants to have, I don't know, like if it's a darker tone room, and then if you have this white door, it stands out. But if it's painted that darker tone and it matches that room, it makes sense, right? Yeah. It looks slightly off when the door is open and you've got that split.
Yes.
The yin-yang split, right? It looks slightly off. But the thing is, when you're looking into the dark room.
You walk into a new world, pretty much.
That's what it is. That's what I like about it.
Most of the time, it does look good.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work for the painters.
It's not easy. I know. Yeah. It's hard.
I did a project. Every single room was different from the other. Color sequence, everything.
Trim walls and everything?
Everything.
Ooh.
Greens, dark grays, blacks, blues, whites, white doves.
That's beautiful for me, man. I like
But that. Like it was hard. Like I was there and I'm just like, I was done spraying at that point. But then I saw the actual finish of it.
The feel of it when you walk into
each
room.
And I was just like, I am floored by this, because like you're there, everything is collecting dust. You don't see what the designer sees.
No.
And then you get to see their vision after, and you're like, okay, I now appreciate everything that that they were selecting.
It makes sense, right?
Beautiful, beautiful.
It's more expensive. It's more challenging.
Yeah.
And you it's almost a slight hit and miss.
Yeah.
But you got to just be careful, because I'm not afraid of darker tones.
I'm not either.
If you have the right lighting, the right natural lighting.
Yeah, I love that black room.
It's beautiful.
Head to toe, ceilings.
Yeah.
Everything.
So you can't put a white door in a black room.
No, you got to paint it.
You got to paint it black, right? Yeah. So then it fits right in. And sometimes it becomes a little challenging to find the doorknob because it's at night or whatever. But
yeah, sure. But then you get those little LEDs that go around.
You put a little, LEDs are all making a comeback for that, right? And then, so you do get some clients that are challenging. They come at you and they start showing a swatches of different colors, right? Yeah. Which is kind of refreshing too, right?
I don't mind it. I don't just like working with, the whites. But at the end of the day, like I like the challenge because you don't want to settle in your role.
Yeah.
You always kind of want to work with something else. But a lot of people don't understand is you work with those deeper tones, there's more work
I would say 2 to 3 times more work involved.
For sure. Sanding is different. You can't sand the same day that you would on white because you know, sometimes it gums up the product. It doesn't sand as well.
Dedicated machines for darker tones, yes. Dedicated machines for lighter
dedicated
tones.
Dedicated machines for oil,
yeah.
Primer.
We're going back to the 50s and segregation is all it is, yeah. Right? You're just, you have to do that because you can't run certain colors all the time with it.
No, you can't. Cleaning the machine. So at this job, I couldn't just paint one bedroom and be on with it and go home. I was getting hot, the warm water, cleaning the machine 2-3 times, getting that dark out, going to a lighter finish, then cleaning the machine for that, going to another room for another different color. It was
a lot of work.
That's where it was.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, okay, so what's the deal now? Are more people painting ceilings other than white? They're painting them a certain tone closer to the walls now.
Yeah. They're color drenching. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where everything is just.
It blends right in.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
But people were doing that with the Chantilly, but now they're doing it with colors. So now it's elevating the actual space. I personally like it.
What about, you don't get into the full finishings and...
I haven't yet.
Okay.
Are
clients asking?
Yeah. And I'm seeing the full movement of it. So I was considering, should I do the lime wash? Should I do this and that? But I also know that things have a cycle.
Yeah.
I walked into a project, 7-8 years ago with a designer. It was his own home. And he had Venetian walls in his kitchen. And he asked me, can you level 5 it? Can you plaster? And he was a designer seeing what was transitioning. So if Venetian left then, it might leave again.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to stick to my bread and butter, what I know best. I'll try to perfect it. There's no perfect though.
Yeah.
But you just keep improving step by step. 2-3% you improve every day and you'll get to what you want to do.
I like it. The problem that I see,
it's beautiful,
is there's so much room for some jokers to come in,
yeah,
and sell it and do horrible jobs.
See, yeah.
And then you're left with that impression for the client. And now everybody just creates this blanket statement, yeah, over the full finishing.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It looked great at first, but it's terrible. And I'm like, well, you got somebody that saw a YouTube video to do it. You didn't get a professional to do it, because there's a professional finish and then there's,
for sure,
the YouTube finish, there's right?
DIY, yeah.
So that's the problem that I have, is that there's way too much room for a lot of people to come in here because they'll charge a higher price point per square foot to do it.
Oh, and it's expensive. But you're seeing people screw up on regular drywall. What makes you think people can't screw up on that?
That's
so
what
you
I
need
mean.
To hire the right guy for that. And it's not easy.
The flooring guy, so you have that one team, the installers, the one, right? Team,
yeah.
What's their background?
They're Mexican.
Okay,
and
yeah.
And they're just the best crew to deal with. I find, like, I found, with everything, go to one supplier, one installer. I work with, certain builders, contractors, designers. I don't like to venture out too much.
Yeah.
And I find that they're... I could probably find cheaper installers, but I know their product.
The quality they're going to give you.
I eyes closed. I tell the guys, this is what I need. I need a 2-plank border with a chevron, whatever, or staggered everywhere. Just go this direction. I walk in, walk out, and I know it's done properly.
It's beautiful.
And if they have any issues, they'll troubleshoot it. They don't call me for every single question. That's what you want.
Are the clients asking for more chevron and stuff?
Like here and there, yeah.
What are we talking about? If it's chevron, what is the price point? Does it double the flooring at that point?
Yes, yeah. Okay. The material costs, the labor costs.
Yeah.
It's
nice.
It's beautiful.
Right, but it is more expensive.
Yeah, and you need to have the right layout for that. Your walls have to be straight, okay?
Where do you start?
Where do you start? Where do you finish?
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot of head scratching.
Yeah.
And you need to understand the reasoning behind the head scratching to figure that one out. Otherwise, it could look bad.
Yeah. Right? I love, for me, my preferred lay is herringbone. I find it's got a lot more character to it.
Yeah.
I also don't like all the angled and the arrow lines meeting, but
you want the step angle, the step corner.
Yeah, I love it.
I know that you get a lot of European and sometimes, I guess, the Russians, they come in with the flower and the curving.
Those are, I'm seeing a lot of it and it's beautiful.
It's beautiful, but I don't know if there's longevity behind it.
longevity with anything though?
No, I mean like design wise, right?
Yeah.
Like, that stuff is beautiful when if I were to walk into a ballroom and I see this massive floor.
For sure.
If I'm walking into the living room or the dining room and there's a kitchen table and I'm seeing 10% of the floor this way, I'm not getting the full effect of that pattern.
For sure.
With the spine or with the herringbone, you get the breaks in between the rooms, right? You still see that pattern.
Yeah, you need that with that type of flooring, you need that wow factor.
You need the space for it.
Yes,
that's absolutely what I mean, right? Yeah. So it just, I like it, but it's for the right building, right?
Yes.
That's the thing about it. Yeah. And then I guess the trend of putting that kind of stuff on the walls and hardwood on the floor, on the walls.
I love the hardwood on the ceiling.
On the ceiling makes sense.
You know, that 20-foot ceiling, and you just slap a nice hardwood on there that matches what you have.
I'm itching to do a coffered ceiling with inlays of wood in it.
Yeah.
Instead of just flat white panel, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm like, why not? Because
it's different.
Yeah.
I want a project where I'm staining all the trim. Where instead of finishing.
Talk about.
You're elevating.
Yeah. Have you done a library yet?
Yeah.
You've done a library, huh? Wood finished library or painted library?
Just painted.
So I wanted to build a mahogany or some sort of library. Yeah. I came close to one client wanted to do it. And then when we priced it out, he was just like,
no. I looked at it. So when I was moving into my place now, I thought, why don't I just buy, you know, stainable trim and just do everything stained? And I'm thinking, what if I just the frames and the doors all white and the baseboards stained? I thought, okay, I could do that. Maybe how would it look? I was trying to look up ideas, and it looks nice, but I got into the costs and
it's insane.
It was outweighing everything.
It's insane. You can keep on trying to find the cheapest wood possible. And I guess the cheapest you'd probably get into red oak.
Red oak. Yeah.
But then
it doesn't match your white oak floor.
And that's what, there's going to be a conflict.
And there's different elements. Yeah. But I know that. So when I walk into a house, I always tell the people, you know, you're going with a white oak floor. And these are prefab white oak floors. They're not done on site with an actual stain.
Yeah.
So there's different elements that there's different things that we got to factor in here. It's going to look different from actually staining. Even if it was a white oak tread.
Yep.
From a prefab is completely different.
Yeah.
But there's companies out there that'll offer, you know, treads in the stain that they used on their prefab. So it does.
So a pretty good match.
Very good match.
But then you're still going to cut them size to fit each tread, right? To put them in.
Yeah. But the actual stain part.
Matches perfectly to the floor.
Perfect, yeah.
Well, that's the thing about the evolution of flooring, right? Where it's now you've got all the stair nosing, now you're getting treads.
Yes.
And that was always the biggest hiccup. You can choose the best floor, but then all of a sudden they have no stair nosing, so now you got to figure out who's going to be the MacGyver that's going to figure out how to do the stair nosing and who's going to do the staircase now at that point. Yeah. And are we using the same wood? And you know this, you can't, maple is difficult.
Very difficult. Very, very
good luck on that one, right? And you'll have to explain that to the client because I had a few jobs. Yeah, they were choosing a maple flooring at the time. This is 10 plus years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, we're going to have a nightmare with the treads here on the staircase. I guarantee you we're going to have a nightmare.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's tough.
They still went with it. They insisted on it.
But I guess that's what the homeowners want, right?
At Maple Overhead Garage Doors, they're not just opening doors. They're opening possibilities. Serving the greater Toronto area with top quality garage doors in steel, wood, fiberglass, flush mount, and full view aluminum, Maple delivers style, strength, and satisfaction for both residential and commercial spaces. With years of experience, unmatched craftsmanship, and the next level service, your neighbors will be jealous, but your garage door will speak for itself. Visit www.maplegaragedoors.com. Email them at maplegaragedoors@hotmail.com or even call them at 905-738-9231. Follow them on social at Maple Doors and discover why quality, knowledge, and experience live at Maple. Maple Overhead Garage Doors, built to impress, made to last. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. And I guess
you gotta live with it after.
The thing is, I think clients forget about looking at that. Even though you and I, we walk in and we see it, it's the first thing we see.
Yeah.
They forget about that and they still are focused on looking at the appliances and the furnishings and all that kind of stuff, right? Also, kitchen cabinets and stuff, right?
They also forget that wood, every tread is different.
Yeah, even pattern-wise and grain.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not going to get all my treads, even if it's white oak, to be the exact same look. It's wood.
One of my last jobs I did, we had to change something. I didn't have to. The guys who were fabricating everything, they had to change it 3 times. And they try to educate the client saying, listen, we're getting this white oak veneer. They're coming off of the same run, but there's a difference in the veneer. And there was huge differences in the vein pattern and in the color when it was stained. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then they would do it. They did it 3 times and it kept on looking like crap. And this was a rounded closet custom thing that they built. And it's just, you know, they started with one panel, which was 4x9, and they chose the next one. They try to seam it all up.
Yeah, you can't.
And it was, you can't. They were like, this is natural wood. It's just, this is how it's reacting when it's turning this way. It was how it was reacting when they were finishing it in the booth. And I was like, you're never going to get bang on, exactly, other than getting the tree itself and then carving it out.
That's different.
That's different, though. But you're never going to be able to do that. It was a battle. It was
you need big, big bucks for that. Yeah.
Client eventually had to just say, okay, I get it, I forget, and just accept it, right? But you could see the tension between him and his wife, and she just looking at it going, I can clearly see that it's not the same. It's like, you guys use 2 different panels. And I'm like, they didn't.
Yeah. Now, sometimes what I offer clients when they have that conversation and they bring that up to me, you know, the clients that do know, they'll always mention, oh, but what about the grain and, you know, the different woods and the material. And they're like, I really want everything to look the same. So I said, let's build it out with the floor. Let's build your staircase with the floor. Almost like a waterfall effect.
Yeah.
You offer it, right? It's a little bit more money, sure. But you get to have that almost near perfect look to what you want to do.
There's so many options, on the market. That's the thing about it. I think that's what makes clients very nervous, because there's, back in the day, they were used to, 3 or 4 different options to choose from?
Yes.
Nowadays, it's 300 or 400 different options to choose from.
Even for paint. Everyone's like, oh, I just want a simple white. Do you want simply white or do you want a simple white?
How many whites are there, Jim? Like,
I don't know. Let's say 4,500. I don't know.
There's a lot of whites.
There's a lot.
Then you got the warmer or the cooler whites, and that's 2 different roads, right?
Yeah. Lately, I've been doing a lot of work with white doves, which I find is such a nice white to work
white
with.
White doves?
Yeah.
It's a nice white?
It's a
cooler a or warmer?
Warmer. Warmer. Softer, too.
Yeah. Is it brighter than cloud or Chantilly? Where is it in the scope of things?
Chantilly's like bright.
Brighter.
Yeah,
brighter. Than doves.
Yeah, white dove is like almost on the cloud white, but it's got a softer look to it.
But are designers choosing these colors because they've had so many clients choose Chantilly that they're like, listen, I'm done with Chantilly?
No, you know what? I think it's the vision of the designer. Vision, right? There are certain designers that I know that, and they do great work, and their go-to is only Chantilly. But they'll be bold with, you know, the fixtures on the walls and the colors on the walls and the millwork and the kitchen look and stuff like that. But they want their ceilings and they're trimmed to be Chantilly.
I tried to sell metallics one time,
Really?
The ceiling. Like it started off with gold and then didn't like it. And then all of a sudden it went to silver and didn't like it. And then they just finally got rid of it. I thought it looked cool.
I want to try high gloss on the ceilings.
That would look good.
Yeah.
You need level 5. You need a level 5.
You need a level 5 and you need to do the sanding in between each coat.
Otherwise, but the sheen will not be consistent.
No, but then you get that mirror effect. I've seen it in a powder on Instagram.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was.
It looks like it's wet paint. It just looks like a sheet of lake or water, calm lake water. I know. It's beautiful.
You kind of get lost in the room too.
You do that with a dark tone.
Yeah. That would look incredible with black or like a navy.
See, I'm a black line pool guy. I prefer black line pool instead of a blue line pool.
Yeah.
But then again, swimming at night, I don't want to swim in a black line pool at night.
Your anxiety levels are
raised. Well, because you don't know what's in there, right?
There's no sharks.
There's no sharks, but I still don't know what's in there, right?
Yeah.
Then you got to add lights or something like that, and that's just going to, you know, photograph whatever's in there. It doesn't matter, right? It looks great during the day. It looks
great, yeah.
But it's the same thing but the ceiling, that would look nice.
Yeah.
I started thinking about, like, I'd like to start seeing fabrics on walls.
Well, you know, a lot of wallpapers.
They're becoming heavier and like that, and they're doing that.
And a lot of people are doing wallpapers.
I know grass is coming back.
What is
grass? Grass cloth.
Oh, come on.
It's coming back. Wow. I've seen it. It's coming back. It's not like the old days.
No.
Right? Yeah. It's more designer based. Sorry, what you were saying?
I'm just saying, like, I don't offer wallpaper.
No, you got to get a special person to do that, right?
Yeah.
Someone that loves wallpaper.
Yeah.
And I'm not
that
person.
No. I tried removing wallpaper. I've had nightmares removing it. I've had easy peasy projects where, you know, the sheets would just come off nicely. And I thought, this is not, I don't even want to touch wallpaper.
It's the adhesive, right?
Yeah.
And it's whatever. I love seeing hand printed wallpaper.
Yes.
Where they do it, how they do it. And I'm like, it looked nice on the
wall.
Yeah, and
I love to see a nice room of just wallpaper.
That's what I'm saying. That there's, I'm not disrespecting the drywallers and the mutters.
No,
there's so many options out there to create a certain vibe in a room,
yes.
right? And that goes from the floor to the trim to the doors to the wall surface to the ceiling.
But you need the right team for that.
Yeah, and everything has to complement each other.
Yeah.
You can't have one fighting the other, right?
No, absolutely.
If you want to do a beautiful ceiling, like you were saying, that mirror kind of high gloss, super high gloss on the ceiling, that would be
Everyone needs to be on the same page.
It has to be, right?
But the client needs to be a little bit bold. Take that step.
Why aren't they? Resale?
Yeah, I think people look.
Aren't people staying in homes longer? No. Less than 10 years, if that, huh?
Yeah, I'm seeing that.
So they'll get
the
their
younger,
kitchen.
The younger generation, yeah, they'll move more. Because the younger generation, and this is my generation myself, and I thought about it too, is, okay, I started in a condo. Let me get into a semi, make a little bit of money. Let me put some work into
the
semi.
Your way.
And let me work my way. Now, I want to do that because not that I want to be in a detached or have what my father has or what that generation has, because they really busted themselves for that.
Yeah.
But times were different then.
Yep.
You know, my generation, they want what their parents had. And they're just like, you know what? I only want to get into a detached first purchase. And then they get stuck, right?
And so then they have to accept that.
They have to
accept stay there, right?
Right. I found my buffer, let's say, where I'm totally okay. I don't need a pool. I don't need that 3,000 square foot grand home, nice entrance. I need a home to be a home at the end of the day. In a safe environment and a safe neighborhood.
Yep.
Now that's a question mark. That's a topic for another discussion. But I found that I'm okay. Like, I've accepted times are difficult and times are very, very different. Now, I don't need to, like, I see why our parents have what they have. They didn't go to vacations. They didn't go see the Amalfi Coast every 3 years.
They didn't spend beyond their means.
Exactly. And when they wanted to do something, they had their friends over for a pizza night.
Yeah.
I grew up with that Saturday night pizza night in front of the TV, the fireplace. I kind of want to bring that back to my family.
The family photo albums with cigar ashtrays and beers on the kids' table for a kid's birthday party, right?
Absolutely.
With actual real individual candles instead of numbers on it.
Yes.
That kind of, trust me, I get it. I know you're talking about.
It's a nostalgic feeling.
Yeah, right? But it's gone today.
Yeah, because we just want to spend. We want to, and this is because of social media. Yep. We are trying to be competitive with each other without even realizing it. You walk into a friend's house, they have a beautiful powder room. A year from now, I'm going to do a powder room. I want this, and that.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
I want to do a powder room in my house. That's because I want my house to feel how I want it to be.
But you're planning, like your dad in that generation, you're planning it.
Yes.
It doesn't need to be done this week, so then I can post it next week, so then I can share it with everybody the following week.
Yeah.
No, man, I'll plan it a year or two from now, and then I'll have it ready then.
Last year, it's almost 2 years now I've been in my place, and I walked in and I said, I need to rip out the fence, the deck, the grass. I need to redo all the hardscape, maybe parge. And I got prices and I thought, okay, I know where I want to be with my budget, and I got the prices within my budget, but just me having a budget doesn't mean that I was able to afford it at that time.
No.
So I said, okay, this is what I need to save. I know next year it's going to increase 15-20%. I'm going to try and put this away for next year or the year after.
That's how it should work.
And you do it in baby stages.
That's how they did it.
That's it.
And that's over time. You're looking at 20 plus, 30 plus years over time.
Yeah.
That's what they accomplished.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're in a go, go, go mentality right now.
Just want to change something every 3-4 years. My dad changed his kitchen twice over, how long has he been at that house now? 36 years.
Because it's worked. Right?
Yeah.
It's when he couldn't fix everything anymore.
No, but you also take care of everything.
Yeah, you maintain it.
Yeah.
100% you do. You maintain the house. And that's what people need to understand too, is you have to maintain it. You need to wear and tear the house. The house should be lived in and used.
Yes.
But you still need to maintain it as well. Right?
There's like I walked into a house with, I wanted to do the kitchen. Now, again, I know the costs and eventually I'll get there. Is the kitchen beautiful? Yeah, it's nice. I like it. Even if it wasn't something I liked, I'm still going to take care of it because buying that house in general costs a lot of money and a lot of sweat and tears.
Right? But today's generation is all house poor.
Very much house poor because they still want to go for the rest of the dinners.
The dinners, the vacations.
I can't do that.
No.
I can't do these $400 dinners.
No.
It's insane. I can go buy a tomahawk, $50 myself. I'll grill it at home. I'll have people over at a restaurant. It's going to cost you $350.
I'm losing so much interest. We're going eating out, right? Because I don't know about you, but I look at it like, man, I could have just made this at home.
Yeah. But also, I enjoy being in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I love cooking.
Yeah.
I love trying different things. I look at these videos, these Italian chefs, you know, like the sound of love and they're flipping their pans. And my wife makes fun of me because like I'm doing a pasta and I'm just like, they're flipping. And my little one's like in awe.
How? Yeah, how are you like, making that happen?
You know, like he's just thinking, oh my God, look at Papa, right? But yeah, going back to the taking care of your home. She calls me a Zamboni, my wife. I'm constantly wiping the counter.
Clean. But you're taking care of the home.
I take a lot of
it's
pride.
It's important,
vacuuming,
man.
Vacuuming, washing the floors.
But I want clients to know that, right? Yeah. So it's just like, stay here and enjoy this house. Like, does anybody ever do the kid marking thing on the trim? Do they do that now? Parents still do that?
What do you mean? Like the
age,
height?
The age marking stuff.
No.
They don't do that.
I've actually seen it I've seen it once recently where they painted the whole house and they kept this one wall.
Perfect.
And it was just that old white with the marks everywhere. And in the middle was all their kids' height.
Perfect.
And I thought, that's a home that you want. That's a client that you want to work with.
There's right? The one video that I saw on social media about the one woman who just lost her dog. And she was refinishing the stairs. But then the dog would always stay on this one step and it's
and
worn out.
And she didn't refinish it?
And she didn't refinish it. She finished a border and then she put a little metal plate on it.
Wow.
Give the dog name there and how long the dog was there.
Yeah.
And she left the step because she couldn't get the guy to finish the whole stair and remove that worn out step. And I was like, That's amazing. But nobody does that anymore, right?
No, because we're quickly to move on from things.
We're going
to
move anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But that's European mentality. Like homes are passed down and homes are given to the other family members. And then you kind of, now make it yours.
Yeah.
And then, but you still keep the tradition of it, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't happen these days.
No. We move on quickly.
It's a shame, man.
It's funny because we'll move on quickly, but we won't move for change.
We'll move on for status.
Yes.
And that's the worst reason to move on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, it's a mistake. I think it's totally a mistake, right? And I'm looking forward to kind of disconnecting from social in the very near future because I want to disconnect from social.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to, I mean, this show has been a success and I do well and I like all this shit, but I also need a break and I want to disconnect from it, right?
No, for sure.
So then I can focus on what's really important in my life.
Break.
That's it. Simple as that. I think everyone is just tied, like there's this leash. It's just tied to trying to figure out, can I one up the next person?
Yeah.
And always, that goes in construction always, too, always, right?
Yeah. But so I used to be that guy where, you know, before my son came, you know, if I had a project in the city and I knew I had to get up a little bit earlier, I would get up extra early, go out to the job site 6:15 and bang out. By the time everyone shows up at 8, half my day is done and I'm already productive.
Yeah.
Now I don't care for that. I want to wake up. I want to say good morning to my son. I won't work past 3:30, 4:00. You cannot catch me working.
Good for you.
Physically past that time because I got to go home and I want to play soccer with my son.
Yeah.
You know, I want to cook a meal.
You don't
for
get those
family.
Memories back.
No, on the weekends too. Unless someone is you know, let's say a client needs to move in. Situation plays out where they're renting a property during a rental. They're pretty much going to be on the street.
Yeah.
I will, okay, put in the extra couple hours every day, make sure you're there. But past four and on the weekends, sorry.
Yeah. Because you know what's more important.
That's my mental break at home.
Yeah, you need it. Totally need
it. Not that there's no mental break. Like, it's a different break, right? Yeah. Being a parent is tough, stressful. But it's rewarding in as your work is, but it's just different. Those memories last you.
Yeah. You don't want to miss any of those memories, man.
No. Because it's going to come to a point. He's going to go from 2 to 17.
And you're going to be like, how did that happen?
Yeah, and he's not going to want to stay home. He's going to want to go out with his friends. So let's enjoy this time now.
It's very true, man.
Yeah.
Looking for a roof that lasts and a team you can trust? Call Homestar Roofing, your local family-run roofing experts. From shingles to cedar, slate to metal, flat roofs to skylights, they do it all. Residential or commercial, big or small, need roof repairs, consulting, soffit, fascia, gutters, or eavesdrops? They've got you covered, literally. With affordable pricing and a reputation for quality, Homestar Roofing is building roofs and building trust, one project at a time. Visit them on social at Homestar_roofing or visit them online, www.homestarroofing.ca, or even call them at 647-380-0625 for your free quote today. That's homestarroofing.ca, where your roof is their reputation. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life. What else? We got to do the 12 questions, but I think we covered quite a bit.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if there's anything else you want to share.
Whatever's on the list.
I was just going to say that I kind of miss it when I was going through your feed. I'll say this. I mean, I could smell your feed. I could smell the paint.
Yeah.
And I miss that scent. Like when I walked on the job site and I was hearing the paint going.
Yeah.
Or I was hearing the hum of the sanders. And I could smell the paint.
Yeah.
And then I liked that scent, you know, because it just meant that I was that one last step closer from being
there.
Completed.
You're almost there. Yeah.
And then even when you unwrapped everything, cleaned everything up, gave it that final wipe, you still had that scent in the air.
Yeah.
And it was a home. It was the beginning of Absolutely. A home.
Even when I wasn't painting and I was younger and, you know, I'd be going to school and coming home and my dad would be just, you know, repainting a bedroom. I loved that smell of that paint.
Or the sound of the roller.
Yeah. And you also knew there's a change coming, right? Like, let's see the look, what's happening now.
But like you said earlier, it is very therapeutic. I used to love doing it on my own. Like, I would just get a room and I'm like, yeah, I'm painting this.
Yeah.
And then just go and challenge myself with a certain color and then do it. And you'd cut and you roll and you just take your time.
That's it.
You take your time and then you just let it dry and then you look at it and then you let the sun come in, you turn the lights on, you go through the whole cycle of natural.
Yeah.
And then you go, it looks beautiful. It's an amazing color. It's perfect. And then
it's your hard work, right?
Yeah.
And you feel good about yourself.
You totally feel good about it. That's almost like construction therapy. If any other trades are having a hard time, go hang out with the painter.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't distract the painter. Yeah. Just go hang out and put up a lawn chair and just sit there and listen to the soothing sounds of, you should almost start a whole selective painting kind of, you know, that the audio books or something?
Yes.
Like a little, you know, the sound of a roller, the sound of a sprayer.
See, I would love to do that. I would love to get like those GoPros, slap them on my head. But again, like you get to, you know, time.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to not have the client say, okay, you know, what's happening this time? Are you going to finish the job? Instead of me, you know, think like they probably think I'm an idiot the way I look with the
strap but you're on my head, like
the headbands game, and just kind of having a full POV of you know, of the work itself.
But I think if you did an audio, like a little soothing,
of just like a little microphone next to the roller going,
you're like, for the next 120 minutes, you're just gonna be hearing the soft sounds of a roller.
I wouldn't play that to go to sleep, but because that painting keeps me up at night.
Does it keep you up at night?
Yeah, like the stresses of the job.
But on the job site, if you got other trays that are all stressed out, you're like, listen, here, just tune into this sound here.
Yeah, they might think I'm crazy.
I think they'll be passed out. I think they'll be on the floor just sleeping, like snoring, gone.
What if I send them an audiobook of just a festival going?
I think if it's a certain level and it's a consistency, I definitely think like the sounds of like soft night, putty night,
just filling holes or something like that, right? And the soft sounds of sanding pads.
Just like wiping it down.
I totally think, and maybe, you know, get Matthew McConaughey's voice to kind of introduce it or something
like that.
I'm telling you right there, selective painting audiobook series, that's what it would be. And you got all these trays kind of just mellowing out, chilling out, right?
It would be nice, yeah. It would be cool. Something different.
Let me do the 12 questions. Selective painting. You can find them at selectivepainting.ca and on IG under @selective_painting, 647-407-0972. His email is gianluca@selectivepainting.ca. And then the flooring is AG Flooring. It's all under there as well, too, right? And you're selling all kinds of different flooring, too, right?
Yeah, whatever the client wants. Yeah.
Okay, cool. You ready for this?
Yeah, sure.
A person you would trade places with for a day.
My father. I would.
When he was younger or now or?
Both. I think each stage of his life, I would have liked to, he's obviously told me stories of growing up and this and that. I would have loved to be in his shoes to see his mindset when my mom passed and how to, you know, kind of alter your life and raise a 14 and a 19-year-old.
That's hard.
Difficult stages in their lives. Yeah. Very, you know, delicate stages where you could really lose them very quickly. But definitely my father.
You ever did that? Like I came across a bunch of old photos of my dad when he was in his teenage, early 20s. And it's just like, you look at that photo and you try to figure out what was he thinking about at that moment. Yeah.
Life must have been much more simple back then. Yeah, for sure.
A guilty pleasure.
Guilty pleasure that I
you don't have any
no
nothing at all no specific chair or chill out or drink or I don't know,
you know what, if we're gonna talk drink, you can always fix me with a Negroni.
Okay. that's a different question here, but what's your least favorite tool?
The hammer.
Yeah, it means that you're punching the nails, right?
Yeah.
Or you get the spring.
Well, we got the nail punch.
You got the nail punch spring one, right? Yeah. I don't like that one as much. I like the hammer and the nail punch.
No, they work. Actually, it's more effective than the hammer and the nail punch.
They just snap in it?
Yeah. Because you got more control with it. You can put your finger right near the actual nail.
And then hit it and reverb.
You're not doing that with your hammer because you're
going to smoke. No, you're going to get a rosebud, right?
You're going to go to the hospital.
Biggest risk you ever took?
Changing professions. Yeah.
It's always a challenge.
Yeah.
Best compliment you ever got?
Best compliment I ever got was how I walk into a home and I always say hi to the homeowner, the eldest in the room, before I say hi to anyone else.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I was raised, you know.
Yeah, that's
nice. Coming to a home, you say hi to the homeowner. Or, you know, if the grandparents are there, you say hi to them, and then you kind of work your way down the pecking order.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nice. Favorite beverage? Still Negroni.
Negroni. Yeah. Or Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Dr. Pepper.
On a nice, when you need that, you know, that quench.
The sandpaper down the throat.
Yeah. A nice Dr. Pepper. Yeah.
What never fails to make you laugh?
What never fails to make me laugh? Honestly, my wife.
Yeah.
We laugh every day.
Good.
We joke every single
day. How long you guys been married?
3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 years. We've been together. This year's our 10th year together. Yeah.
Worst piece of advice you ever got?
Worst piece of advice I ever got. Best piece of advice I ever got was make your mistakes. Worst piece? Ooh, that's tough. Worst piece of advice I got was don't take that step. Don't take that risk.
Others just saying. But that's just a reflection of them.
Yeah, for sure. Yes.
All it is, right?
Yeah.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Cooking.
Chef, eh?
Yeah.
YouTube chef? Online chef?
Sure, whatever.
Yeah. I was just having an argument with somebody. Like I'm not liking the food influencers, eh? The ones that go to people's restaurants and then they criticize their food if they say something positive or negative about it. And I'm just like, listen,
because like, do you have a restaurant?
Yeah, don't exactly. Don't send me this stuff.
Yeah,
you guys are criticizing the flavors in this food when you know what? You've never cooked a meal in your day.
Have you gone to school for that? There's different. That's the thing with cooking. There's so many things to, and I don't know.
No, and you'll never get all of it.
No,
I know.
But that's why those elite chefs are Michelin star and. You know,
but the influencer, food influencers that just go to different restaurants, I'm like, you guys, do you even know how to cook? Like,
come on.
That's why I don't like it. I just told them, don't send me any more of this crap. I don't want to see it. Your favorite curse word?
Fuck. Yeah.
Favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
Oh, Ferrari. Hands down.
Which one? New, old?
Old.
Classic?
Definitely classic.
Like classic?
Oh, man.
We going 80s or we going 50s?
80s, 90s, like GTOs.
Oh, last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
This is going to be very personal. Your mom's been waiting. Yeah, very personal.
How young was she?
She was 45.
Oh.
Yeah, tough. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, man.
Cancer. Yeah, it was
that's young.
Yeah. But she a lot of people thought, yeah, you must have been super young, you know, to deal with that. But she prepped me for it.
Did she?
She was teaching me how to clean the house, laundry, take care of my dad. She even told me, you know, when I go, she knew. She's like, you need to, you know, be the rock of your family. So I think that's why a lot of people wonder why I have thick skin, why I'm very outspoken, why I'm very hard. Because like nothing I'm going to let break me.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, like, outside my immediate circle, you make a mistake, you're out the door kind of thing. I won't let anyone enter.
It's simple.
Yeah.
You get one shot. I'm the exact same way. I'm sorry, but you get one shot. But if you stay, like, nice and...
That's it. Loyal, respectful.
Exactly. Trustworthy. I'm here anytime and every time.
That's it. Simple as that. You have me.
Yeah. But on the flip side...
Oh,
it's done. It's just done. It's just how it works, right? So it was good that she did that beforehand, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was tough, yeah.
Yeah, I can only imagine, man.
Yeah.
Thanks so much.
No problem.
I appreciate it, man.
Thank you for having me here.
It's been a good conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and keep up the amazing work.
Thank you.
And I'd love to stop by one day if I can and just see what you guys are up to. And I know the quality. I see it in the images, but I see it also in yourself, right? Yeah. I know what's happening, what you guys are doing, and all the best. Continue doing that, right?
Thank you. I really
appreciate
it.
And then it's like... Has it been slow for you?
You know what? I'll be honest. Yeah.
I'm humble
enough to say that it's been slow.
Yeah.
But
on the flip side, you're getting more time with other things that you want to do, right?
Yeah. So, when was it? November? I was panicking in November. My wife was just like, you know what? You got to keep grounded. Things will always work out. We're fine. She's like, we're fine. I took that month and I was with my son.
Good.
I was with him every day, spending time with him. Like that was... a way of coping.
Yeah. And then the work came.
And the work, it's coming. Yeah, for sure. I've been pricing out like crazy. The thing is losing to the, I'm going to do this for 50%. Or else I'd be up to my neck.
Yeah, but then if you lower, then
I will never.
Yeah, and you can't. And then what are you going to do? You're going to be busy with a bunch of.
No.
Right? You don't want
never
that.
Lower my standard.
Yeah. So let them make that decision and then the right people will come along and choose you.
I'm okay staying home for a little bit.
Yeah.
Again, extended time with my son.
Yeah.
And when the clients come, they'll come. And it'll be the ones that are going to value my work.
Anybody in construction that has seen the ups and downs, listen, it comes and goes.
It comes and goes,
And it makes you sharper.
Yes.
That's it. So it's just like, listen, we know that you built a business. We know you started a brand. We know you get word of mouth. But guess what? Maybe we're just teaching you a little bit more insight here where you have to rehone your skills and go door knocking. Yeah. Go talk to people. Go networking.
It develops your social
Simple
skills.
Simple as that.
Yeah. And it's not easy being a small business owner.
Not in Canada.
It's scary. No.
Very, very scary, but... We'll make it through.
Yeah, we'll always get there.
Thanks so much, man. I appreciate it. That's it. Thanks. We're out of here.